Okay, everyone, it looks like it's 6 o'clock and we are going to start the Blaine City Council meeting. Today is December 13th, 6 p.m. And we will start with a moment of silence, please, if you'll join me, and then I will recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Before we have roll call, I'd like to welcome our new council member, Mike Hill. Hey, Mike, wave. There you are. Okay, roll call, please.
Yes, we have Garth Baldwin.
Present.
Eric Davidson.
Here.
Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Mike Hill.
Here.
Richard May. I don't see him on here.
Not
Bonnie
yet.
Onion.
Here.
And Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
I imagine Councilmember May will likely be here anytime.
Yes. Okay. Next, we have a time for audience participation. If there's anyone from the general public that is listening in, would you like to make any comments? Just indicate with a wave. Any member of the public out there? Okay, thank you. And please note that Richard May has now joined the meeting. Okay, we're going to start off with some appreciation for a couple council members that are leaving Marsha. Office. Pardon me?
Oh.
Was that you, Charlie?
Yeah.
You got your audio on.
Yeah, right.
All right. So I would like to present an appreciation to Charlie. Charlie Hawkins has been on the council, I think, 15 years. Is that correct, Charlie? Okay. Go ahead and put your audio on if you want to say a few words after I say a few words myself. Thank you, Charlie, for your service on council over the past 15 years. And here's your award that's showing here. It's a beautiful award. There's a lot of time, effort, and dedication that goes into serving on the council. And Councilmember Hawkins has been a very active and engaged member. During his time of service, Councilor Hawkins helped hire several outstanding city managers, helped guide the city through the economic recession and the housing crisis, and purchased the new City Hall building. He has been the council's voice on the Drayton Harbor Shellfish Protection District Advisory Committee and helped to measurably raise the water quality in the harbor. Other highlights include commissioning the new sewer plant, maintaining street end parklets for Blaine citizens, as well as restoring the plover and putting it to work for the city. Charlie, on behalf of the city and the council and staff, I'd like to extend our sincere appreciation for all your contributions that you've made over the past 15 years helping to support your community. Thank you very much. Kudos.
Thanks. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun, and it's, you know, if you love your community, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that, Charlie. Thank you. Okay, next, would Councillor Stewart like to say a few words?
I'd be honored to. Mayor Onion appreciation speech, and as I read this, it's just amazing. It's such a small summary, but an immense service. I would like to thank Mayor Onion for her service to the city over the past 23 years. This is an extraordinary amount of time, effort, and dedication that has gone into serving the citizens of Blaine. During that time, she oversaw the hiring of 3 city managers. Mayor Onion played a part in more activity and work that can really be summarized. Here are just a few examples. The construction of the sewer plant, the construction of the Marine Park playground, and the construction of the G and H Street plazas. The mayor was active in the sale of several city properties, including former airport property sold to Chuckanut Bay Foods, IK Trucking, the Yorkston Company, and the Family Care Network site. The city is scheduled to sell the last piece of that property for a retail development before the mayor's term ends this year. As a citizen business owner, council member, and mayor, Bonnie has been a stalwart champion for downtown development. She has supported more than one zoning and development code change and active to incentivize development through fee waivers. She was an advocate for the demolition of the derelict building at 665 Peace Portal Drive. Most recently, she initiated the funding process for the new G Street Plaza Band Pavilion. During the mayor's term, there were many changes that she was a part of. The purchase of the new City Hall building at 435 Martin Street, the expansion of sewer into East Lane, the improvement of more than a dozen neighborhood streets through a council main bond. The mayor has been active in promoting the city's needs at the state legislature in Olympia and has been a part of multiple successes, the most recent being acquiring state funding for the Bell Road intersection improvements. On behalf of the city, the council, and staff, I would like to extend our sincere appreciation for all the contributions you have made to our city over the years, and to thank you for your role in helping to support our community.
Thank you for those kind words. So appreciated. Serving this city has been a passion of mine for a long time. One of my passions, of course, but a very important one. And even prior to council, I served 6 years on the Planning Commission too. That's kind of where I got my feet wet, which is a really good place to start to really learn how this city works and a lot of the rules and regulations and how it grows. And it's been my pleasure to work with everyone currently on the council and previous councils and our wonderful staff and all our wonderful city workers. I just couldn't be more proud to leave this city in pretty good condition, I think, pretty good state and a real vision for the future. And I know this current council will carry this on and do an excellent job. So again, thank you very much. So appreciated the time I've been here. Thank you very much, everyone. Okay, next we have a few written communications that came in, and I believe there was one late this afternoon. Did you see that one that I copied council on, Mr. Crawford?
Yes, I did, and I'll read through them right now.
Okay, go ahead.
So we have an email dated December 3rd, 2021 from Jill Nixon regarding the county seeking applicants for advisory committees. An email dated December 6th, 2021 from Holly Kochi regarding the recent legislative interim update. An email dated December 7th, 2021 from Steve Rutford regarding his resignation from the Planning Commission. A new email dated December 10th, 2021 from Dennis Olison regarding proposed utility fees. A new email dated December 13, 2021 from Joel Nielsen regarding the December edition of the 2021 North Whatcom Fire and Rescue Newsletter. A new email dated December 13, 2021 from Christy Slett regarding the 24th annual Ken Gas Community Building Awards. And a new email dated December 13, 2021 from Linda Marshall regarding her thanking the city for its response to the recent power outage.
Okay, next on to the consent agenda. We've got several items on here. We received a voucher memo explaining some of the bills in the amount of $513,395.26, including a wire register of $366,575.65, approval of payroll, $611,575.51, approval of the November 16th emergency special city council minutes, approval of the November 22nd city council minutes, and we have an appointment to the Public Works Advisory Committee as well. Would someone like to move consent, approval of the consent agenda?
So move.
Second.
Moved by Councillor Stewart, second by Councillor Baldwin. Any questions? All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye or raising your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries 7-0. Okay, on to action items. The first one is appointment to the Park and Cemetery Board. Mr. Crawford, do you want to, I guess there's nothing we need to do really except appoint our applicant that we had this evening. Would someone like to make such a motion?
And Your Honor, we make a motion to fill the, I know the applicant did signify that she was willing to do the four-year term. However, it'd probably be best to make a motion to say a four-year term versus the partial term.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make a motion to appoint Barbara Sturtevant to a full term on the Parks and Cemetery Board.
Second.
It's been moved by Councillor Baldwin, second by Councillor May. All in favor of the motion signify aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries 7-0. Thank you, Barbara. Welcome aboard. Okay, next is ordinance 21-2972, amending the budget for a few of these funds that we had described to us in a work session. And would someone like to move approval?
So move.
Second.
By Councillor Hawkins, second by Councillor Davidson. Any questions? All in favor signify aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. All right, motion carries 7-0. Item three, resolution 1872-21, updating the unified fee schedule. We also had a work session on this item. And would someone like to make a motion on this resolution?
So no one's going to do it. I will make a motion.
Okay. Oh. Mr. Baldwin moves. Mr. Hawkins seconds. Okay, any comments or questions?
I think it's like we discussed, it's a difficult decision to raise every residential bill by nearly $10 a month. I have three of those bills that I get to pay, and got yelled at from my wife about it and why we can't find money elsewhere, and explaining that, you know, utility funds go to utilities and all that sort of thing. It's a difficult decision, and it's a difficult situation that we're put in because we haven't kept up with, we as a city council haven't kept up on fees for the upkeep of the infrastructure in the city, and we are paying the price. So it's a bitter pill that we all have to just swallow. That's all I wanted to say about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolute, good comments. Our enterprise funds, which means our utility funds, have to be self-supporting with monthly fees and hookup fees as well for capital needs. But we have to keep up with the costs just like everyone else. And unfortunately, we are playing a bit of catch up here from not raising rates the last few years. So, okay. Are we ready for a vote then? We had a first and a second. Let's vote then. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. Okay, motion carried 7-0. Okay, the last action item, we will take action after the executive session where we will be discussing the property at 665 Peace Portal Drive. So next, moving on to commission, committee, and board reports. Are there any council reports this evening? No one? Okay. All right, then we'll go on to department reports. Mr. Jones, city manager.
No report, ma'am, but I did just want to take a moment to thank you and Councilmember Hawkins for your years of service, and to say from the perspective, at least from myself, but I'm certain I speak for staff as a whole when I say you'll be missed, and thank you very much.
Appreciate that. Okay, next, Finance Department. Mr. Heverlane, you have a couple items here.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor and honorable council members. I echo Mr. Jones' comments. I definitely will miss working with both of you. It's only been 4 or 5 months, but I will still miss working with both of you. And thank you very much for everything you've done for the city. So I have two quick reports. The first one is the delay of the utility shutoffs. And I just wanted to give a high level report of kind of some specifics of what happened, just in case if anyone contacts council members, then you'll kind of know what maybe some people are talking about. Once we had that delay of a week and then the shutoff that occurred on November 4th, it did confuse some customers as they came in, and then there was a second shutoff at the end of November. So we definitely did incur some more heated discussions with customers than we had in that first shutoff round, just because there was two in the month of November. So that did confuse people. Why are there two shutoffs? And so I just wanted to relay that to the council members, just in case if you hear anything from other customers being upset about that, that occurred. It should be back on more of a normal schedule now that, you know, we had that situation, and the next shot off won't be in, you know, until a month after the one that happened at the end of November. Is there any questions on that before I move on to the next topic?
I just want to thank you, Dan, for all the work you and the rest of the accounting staff and the utility department folks had to do on that. That was a big, jump up in your workload there for several days. And I appreciate all the work that you did. And I just want to say to us as a city council, if we have this kind of thing again, God forbid, that we kind of get a plan in place further down the road, because this was an 11th hour decision about, you know, delaying it a couple of weeks, and it could have been planned a little better by, not by Dan, but by everybody else involved with that. So, but Dan, thank you guys so much for all your hard work on that one.
I do have a question. What is the level of paid versus unpaid right now? Where are we at?
I believe that, so the people on payment plans right now is, I don't have it exactly, but I think it was around 75 currently on payment plans, which is a lot less than it was before. I think it was well above 100. So we are getting those numbers down. The last shut off, we had 112 people. 112 accounts shut off. But that's actually not too abnormal. I was talking to Stacy, and it sounds like it's typically always around 100 each month, even prior to the pandemic, that were shut off and then paid, and then they'd be turned back on. So, but currently we have about 75 or so customers on payment plans.
And what is the charge for turning it on?
It's $25 during the normal day. Uh-huh. If it's at night, an emergency turn on, which I did help a customer with that, it's $140. Okay. Just because there's overtime involved of, you know, potential, you know, it could be, whether it be Stacy being able to do a remote turn on, which sometimes she can do that, but we have had some issues which we're addressing with the remote turn on process. And if that fails, then we actually have to send out electric or water utility staff to manually turn it on. So that $140 is for those overtime charges.
Mm-hmm. But during the day is 25.
25, yeah.
During the weekday, okay.
And there is discretion that we do have to waive those, that fee, every so often in certain circumstances, but normally it's $25.
Okay. All right, on to your next item.
Yeah, the next item is just to give a real quick update on the red loan forgiveness process. I reviewed 4 different applications, was able to approve 2 of those. And so we were able to forgive $10,000 for each one, so $20,000 total. The other 2 just either didn't qualify because of the amount of money they made during the period. One of them we have communicated back with the customer to say, can you please give us some different information like your 2019 returns versus 2021, which could get them qualified. But we were able to qualify too and give out $20,000 of forgiveness, which absolutely will help those two businesses.
Very good.
And that's all.
Okay. All right, Mr. Zemanek, you're next.
Well, this will be about an hour, so where do I start? Let's start with storm update. So at the last meeting, I gave you an update of the first storm that blew through the area that came with about, at that time, 13 or 14 inches of rain. Since that time, total accumulation that we saw down at the wastewater treatment plant was in excess of 16 inches. So you might have heard different numbers everywhere else, but that's what we were dealing with from our you know, instruments down there and things we had to do to keep the water flowing. This this last one, last storm that we had roughly a week and a half ago or so, if you remember, it was about a 3 or 4 day, just a continuous constant soaking rain. This one in a lot of ways did us in on a number of fronts. Number one was a lot of road damage. Road damage as a result of just the constant rain from the previous storm and then this add-on. Things that we didn't see happen from the first storm surely happened from the second one. And some of you live in neighborhoods where roads are closed. Up in the Semiahmoo area in downtown Blaine, we had to take precautions. Most of the roads that we closed were next to some culverts that dropped off or some valleys that dropped off. And we did not want to risk heavy trucks nor school buses getting close to that edge and severely cracking the edge and perhaps leading to a turnover or someone going down the embankment. So personnel in Public Works sided with safety when it came to those roads. For the most part, we saw the same type of damage over and over when it came to the roads. Under the asphalt, just severely saturated with water in a number of areas, we're cracking the asphalt midway in the pavement. So there'll be a lot of repair to do there. As far as U Avenue is concerned, we are waiting to get a consulting engineer on board. The city engineer told me he's working to make that happen. We do have to get some consultants in to give us some ideas how we restore that bank. That bank is pretty treacherous. And that comes right up to the edge of the pavement, and it's going to take some thinking on how we backfill that or stabilize the soil there. Other areas we noted were some sewers that were backing up, preferably some storm drains that were also giving us constant headaches here, there, and everywhere in the city. But again, with 16 inches of rain, it leaves a lot to be desired of whether the design was what it should have been anyway, because to have that much rain just come down in a matter of a couple of days and not have that problem in previous years, I think is a telltale sign of how we handle our stormwater and get rid of the water. We did have, on the second storm, we had approximately 1.2 million gallons of water of effluent treated water that was discharged outside the plant into the various culverts around the plant. We had a significant break in our effluent pipe down at the end of the spit in Semiahmoo. This is our one and only main line, and you're going to hear me talk about this through the year. But if you think about it, think about our $20 or $30 or $40 million plant that we have. We only have one line that takes the treated effluent out of that plant. And what we ran into is from the stormwater and the settling of the ground and other expansions taking place, we lost one of the connections on that pipe. Now, the difficulty is that since that's the only pipe taking effluent out to the bay, treated effluent, we could not shut the plant down to repair that pipe because of the high volume of liquid going through it and also the high pressure. We had to wait 2 or 3 days. We attempted a number of fixes requiring bands, but we could not get them around with the amount of water that was just flowing there and basically leaking out of that joint. So about 3 days after the storm, we were able to get a 2-hour window. We prepared to have everything ready, the material, the equipment, and got down there, vacated the water and the debris, and got in there and made the necessary fix. So we're holding. We'll be back in the spring to do a more permanent band around the pipe. And it was also brought to my attention, there's a couple other bands that were put in there during the construction of that sewage treatment plant. The interesting thing is that effluent pipe is not necessarily the design that you would use to take that kind of water out to the bay. It was an older, unused, high-pressure water line that was converted to be used to take out the effluent from the plant. But the other significant thing is if that line fails, we have no other way of discharging any of the treated effluent out to the bay. And that is a problem that no doubt will be a very, very serious problem for the plant. So more to come on that. Engineering is taking a hard look at that, but I think it needs to be rectified out into the future, the near future, and see what it's going to take to get a second line of discharge out there. So that's it on storms. If you want me to take some questions on that before I go on to the sewer system update and the recent outage that we had. Yes, Councilman Baldwin?
Yes, sir. Where exactly was the failure in the outfall line?
About 60, I'm going to say about 75 feet southeast of the circle down there at the resort, on the right-hand side as you're going down to the circle.
I just wanted to know what kind of collateral damage we might have to deal with, but that area is pretty clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you go a little further north, it's not a good place to be.
Well, we're going to have to probably have some discussions along the way because I understand there's a number of bands that were put on that do go north towards the water tank.
So putting in another line, when we did the Birch Bay Water and Sewer upgrade line, they put in essentially a dead line just for the future.
Right.
And putting in an extra line at the time that was done, and I say we because I was on that project, might have been a good idea. I mean, it really, you know what I mean? Because they piggyback two lines in one just in case for growth, for whatever. So they've got two 18-inch, those plastic sealed together, you know, continuous lines. I don't know, it's something to think about.
Yeah. It's not an easy fix because, you know, dumping water into the bay, you know, brings a lot of the alphabet soup organizations to the table, as you're well aware. So it's not just as easy as designing and constructing, but there's a lot of permitting and reviews that have to go place. But and you said it very well, to have a plant like that and only one avenue of escape is pretty thin margins. So I'm sure you'll hear more from us on what we're going to do there, among some other things. The next thing, rather some good news.
Bernie, can I just ask, is any of this FEMA reimbursement eligible?
We're keeping we've taken out work orders and we're capturing all the data and the numbers and the hours and the material and everything. And there's a number of emails that have been crossing my desk along with the city manager. It's not clear yet, you know, what we put in for. I know the city engineer is working on filling out some forms right now, And I see he just popped on. So I don't know, Greg, if you want to add anything to that.
We did submit a preliminary damage assessment for U Avenue. That the FEMA thresholds are pretty high to actually be able to effectively use the federal funds. But we do believe that U Avenue with the culvert underneath and the roadway may qualify. So we're waiting to hear back from the state on that.
And Mr. Berg, the time frames of the storms are prescribed based upon decisions made, I believe, by FEMA, right? So it's important for everyone to know that it's not everything that's happened since a certain date. There's a window, and each disaster gets its own window. Is that correct?
That is correct. It currently ends, I'm trying to remember if it's the 19th or the 17th, but it currently ends based on that first storm. So we are indicating that U Avenue happened with the first storm. And they're looking to expand that, but there also is an aspect of it where it was very limited to 3-4 counties. And so the criteria is, I think, $13 million, and trying to meet that with 3 or 4 counties is harder. So they're going through that process. So there were two movements. One was to kind of say, hey, this is a very localized storm, and also change it so it included the Thanksgiving storm also. But that's kind of where we're at, is the first deadline passed. We met the first deadline. We actually heard back from the state today requesting more information, so we know we have it. But they'll have to make some decisions about that down the road.
Wasn't the second storm worse because the first storm took up all of the soaking in and solubility capacity, creating more of a trouble?
That is correct. I mean, by that point, the water table was effectively at the surface, which, you know, I'm a geotech guy. I can explain that in greater detail, but that definitely causes a problem when you have that and then followed on by the second event.
All right, Mr. Zemanek, why don't you get to that sewer update so we can keep this show on the road?
So we have some rather short but good news this week, or this past week. Greg Berg and I received the first set of preliminary 60% drawings from David Evans. And we had a conversation with Rodney Langer on Thursday regarding the calculations, the designs, the routes, some of the problems that are associated with putting the lines in the ground. We'll continue on that discussion for probably another week or so, and getting comments back and having some one-on-ones with Rodney to further discuss that. But I think that's a significant piece of information that I wanted to pass on to you, to have it at the 60% point, and now just getting ready to start to finalize the drawings, getting the material list together, and hopefully by the beginning of the new year, sitting down with the material list and the potential cost of this whole project. So we're nearing that, and for what we can see, we're still targeting a dry spring start. I'm going to say either that's March or April, not knowing what's going to happen around here, but all indications so far is that we're targeting that date.
So are we still on a target for completion, maybe August?
August, September, that's correct.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, the big ticket item, what happened over the last 24 or 48 hours? Approximately just short of, or shortly after midnight, the electrical system emanating from Blaine's substation, predominantly circuit 17 that feeds a good portion of the downtown area and a lot of the residences here, had a fault or a short circuit on it, and the breaker back at the substation tripped. Once the electrical crew came on board from being on call and took a look at the situation, they rode the lines out, they spotlighted them to see if they can find anything. They could not, and so they came back to the substation and ready to close the breaker back in, which is normal operating procedure after you look at something, because something could, a branch could swing into the line, burn away, and then clear the line. And if there's nothing found, you come back and you throw the breaker in. They came back, threw the breaker in, and say it mildly, all hell broke loose. The feeder up around Mitchell, a span of conductor, burned open and fell to the ground. And two spans outside the substation where the line workers were standing, the overhead line burned down there and left go of its clamp, and basically was jumping all over the ground like a snake. The breaker did not clear this time. However, the high side line fuses did, and that's on the 115,000 volt side. When you have a fault like this, you're not expecting those fuses through the coordination to trip. So what happened? Well, it took us about 26 hours to put the last customer in. So that's the end of the story. The beginning of the story was we got PSC to come out. They had to do some troubleshooting at the substation. At the same time, we've had damage with two spans of burned down conductor laying on the ground. And we're now finally trying to find out what had occurred. You might have heard earlier, and there was an earlier, I haven't had a chance yet to fully work with the team to find out every piece of information that they knew, but I think I'm in that 90% confidence interval now. You might have heard that there was a crow involved early on, but the way I'm looking at it is that's less of a chance that occurred. It appears that we had a piece of a pole line malfunction just up around Mitchell Avenue. There were some heavy winds early Sunday morning that were blowing around. There was heavy rains that were reported to us. And it appears based on the burnt cross arm that we have and the burning that started to happen, that a piece of equipment malfunction, presumably a line insulator, and allow the conductor to come down on the cross arm. All would have been well at that point in time if we were able to separate it just to the one feeder. But if you remember, I told you about, we put the breaker back in and it didn't clear. We wound up burning down two spans of wire, which became the fuse for that circuit. What we found out when PSC arrived after they did their testing, the breaker malfunctioned the second time. And when it didn't offer any clearance ability or protection ability for the line. So when the line workers came back in, closed the breaker in, it actually did not close and latch. The pads closed to make contact so the circuit was energized. However, the latching mechanism did not operate. And when the latching mechanism doesn't operate, on the next potential fault, the breaker's not going to work. So the breaker sat there closed, not being able to open. So that's why the high side fuses opened up and everything was shut down. Had a decision to make. They found that there were a number of bad parts in that breaker. That breaker's been in there for 50 plus 60 years. There's been extremely very little maintenance done on that breaker. And they had a brand new breaker at PSC with brand new relay controls. And they asked me if they should put it in. At that point in time, we still did not repair the line. We still had some work there. There was time going to be oriented towards replacing the breaker. And I told them that I think it's time we replace that breaker and fix it. So they spent all the way up to about midnight, PSC replacing the breaker with a brand new one, having the relay tech come up and program the program in there, which took about two hours, and had the breaker ready to go about 11:30. Meanwhile, our crews were out. They repaired the top of the pole where the suspected piece of equipment malfunction was located at. They replaced all of the insulators, the cross arms, and a number of the conductors that went to an underground service. and re-patrol the line one more time. And then finally, about 1 o'clock in the morning, they closed the breaker in and it held. So I think when I look at all of those things put together and the fact of the time and the effort we put into fixing things, replacing that breaker was the best time we could use since we had people out. We did start restoring some people. We were able to open some switches and close others so that we didn't leave the entire circuit 17 dead. We started to pick up people in residences by mid-Sunday, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we have predominantly everybody back in except the customers that, let's say, were closer to the substation, which would be around the school area, Yorkie's gas station, some of those buildings there and a few residences. I was in contact with the superintendent throughout this whole thing. The city manager put us together to have a conversation because he wanted to make a decision on what to do at school today. But by the time 9 o'clock came and there was still a lot of work going on, we chatted about that and he thought the best thing to do was to call off school today. And I heard from him this morning and this afternoon. He spent quite a bit of time resetting refrigeration units, resetting lighting, resetting heaters and boilers in the school and so on and so forth. So there was a lot of work to get the school back in shape. And, as he said, it was time that they needed to make sure it was proper to have the kids return. One last thing I want to say about the maintenance. It hasn't been done. You heard me say that. And the reason it hasn't been done is it's unfortunate. It's sort of a good story and a bad story. That substation keeps on feeding Blaine power 24/7, 365. It doesn't have the ability, or we don't have the ability, or the electrical groups never had the ability to open up a breaker, take it out of service, and still continue to power up all of Blaine. We're in an all or nothing at that substation when it comes to those breakers. Once we get these switches installed, the switch form, as you know, we just pass that to get the work going on it. That's going to give us the flexibility that we can switch feeders back and forth, and we'd be able to take those breakers out of service and have PSE come up here and to troubleshoot them and to maintain them. So a lot of flexibility that'll come with these switches, but we're still going to have to probably look at replacing the remaining two breakers over the next couple of years, if not sooner, just to get it up to speed and get newer breakers and equipment in that substation. So that's all I have to report. It's, I want to send a mighty big thank you to all of the public works staff and all the people that support the public works staff in all the departments in the city. As you said, the city manager himself was running around and, I woke him up at about 3 a.m. I'm not sure, but I left a message with most people. And, that's the game we play to keep the power on in the city. So I want to just say thank you to the water group, the sewer group, people in the streets, everyone that basically came in to help us get through this and keep the pumps going, keep the water flowing, keeping the wells going. It was just a monumental undertaking to restore the wastewater treatment plant and keep all those other facilities going for that amount of time. So thanks to everyone and thanks for your support. And if you got any questions, I'll take them.
There's got to be some questions.
No? I just had a request that I already was talking to Michael about there, that just a minor thing. It's a great job on all that. I'm glad you got it restored. It sounded like it was a large challenge to have to deal with. Just a small request is that people trying to contact the after hours number have no way of knowing whether or not anybody successfully got the information to that person. And obviously that person has to spring immediately into action and has better things to do than manning phone conversations. So I personally would just love it if there was like an alternate message, outgoing message it could be switched to, which is, we are aware that there is a difficulty with some of the utility and it's being worked on currently. Thank you for whoever reported it, so that the next, 100 or 200 people who are trying to contact it would know it's being worked on. And then everyone could stand down and stop phoning the number every 5 minutes and asking everybody else what's going on. And that would just be a helpful thing, but that's just a very minor thing in relation to the big picture.
And get a bigger mailbox so people don't feel like, there's just nobody's listening.
Well, we did put a call out to Debbie Otto, who's our administrative assistant in the office. And as you know, handles a lot of the utility items for us, called her at 3 o'clock in the morning. And she did make it in by sometime after six. She started handling the phone. She stayed there till I think mid-afternoon when Mr. Berg said that, she could go home at that point in time. So she kept the answer. She kept the people at bay as far as answering their questions. Before she got there, I think we even brought in Steve Rutherford, who's on our water supervisor or foreman, who came in and has at times answered the phone. So as soon as this hit, we tried to bring all the people we could to start answering people's questions and to at least giving them some sort of estimated time of restoration so that they could make some plans. I chatted with the city manager, the fact that it could get cold, it was rainy, it was damp, and things were okay during the day, but surely once the sun went down and nighttime was on us, things got a little colder and a little bit more difficult. So we tried to give people as much time if they needed to move out and go with other family members or get some kind of heaters, and tried to do our best to answer all the questions that they had.
Thank you, Bernie. Great job on the crew. I've heard really, really good things. Yeah, people are frustrated. They were frustrated, but there's also been a lot of appreciation mentioned. So
thank you. I'll pass that on.
Yes. Okay, Sam, you have something to say about our final council meeting.
I do. So as a tradition, at the end of the year, the final city council meeting is roughly 2 to 3 minutes long. Council gets there and arrives, and they vote on, generally speaking, the minutes and the vouchers, the remaining bills of the year. That said, we are planning on having that last council meeting in person. That would give Mayor Onion the opportunity to hit the gavel one last time. But the key thing is, I'm looking for 4 volunteers to be there. I know it's a 9 a.m. meeting right after Christmas. I think we have 3. I know we have Mayor Pro Tem Stewart, Mayor Onion, Councilmember Hawkins, I believe. So I'm looking for at least 1 more volunteer. And again, as is tradition, I will bring donuts to entice you to be there.
Well, isn't there something afterwards?
There is. We're having a little pancake feed afterwards. That was gonna be a nice surprise. I was hoping the donuts and coffee would nudge people in the correct.
The pancakes will help too. So.
So yeah, if I can get 1 more volunteer so we can reach quorum, speak up now.
I'd love you all to be there, to see you one last time.
What are we talking?
9 a.m. on December 27th.
I didn't even plan tomorrow that well. Yeah, I'll be there, Sam. God.
Thank you, Councilor Ball. You won't regret it.
Such enthusiasm.
Yes, such enthusiasm.
Thank you, Santa. Yeah.
Hey. Can more than 4 come?
We can have more than 4 too,
Oh, yes, of course. We would love to have a full house of 7.
I would love to see a full house.
I just don't know what I'm doing that day, so I didn't want to miss.
No, neither do I, Councilman Hill. So why don't you go ahead and be available?
Hey, you can show up regardless. I mean, you don't have to give prior notice. So
okay.
We encourage you all to come.
Absolutely. And
join staff in the pancake breakfast that we're having immediately following the meeting.
Perfect. Thank you.
Super.
Wonderful. We have reached quorum. That is great. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, Stacy.
Yeah, I apologize, Madam Mayor. I also have a report to give that's connected with the pancake feed.
All right.
That's the day we are going to formally recognize Commissioner Fruitford. As you know from his email, yes, thank you for being here this evening. I just wanted to take an opportunity to recognize Mr. Fruitford's over 6 years of service on the Planning Commission. As you know, his term is ending. He's going to go live the county life. So of course he'll still be with the city, but won't be in his role as a planning commissioner. As you all know, Mr. Hertford has supported the city in his role as the commissioner by providing technical expertise. He's provided thoughtful analysis and what I very much appreciated is some wit and levity to both legislative projects and quasi-judicial applications that the Planning Commission has processed. In the 2.5, almost 3 years I've been here, I've observed him taking to heart, you know, the mission of the commission to support the policy directives of council. And I've observed him listening closely to public feedback and testimony, which is, I truly believe, led in supporting the commission to making decisions and recommendations that have led to maximizing the public good. So I do not have a plaque here this evening, but I will on December 27th. So Sam and I are planning the pancake menu. You don't want to miss it. We're going to be flipping pancakes and we are going to recognize Mr. Hertford formally for his service. So thank you so much, Commissioner.
I served with Steve on the Planning Commission, and his input was some of the most valuable input that the Planning Commission got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be there to send him off as well and give him a big thank you. Sam, I noticed two of my kids showed up late in the evening meeting. And they just wanted to be here because they knew I was getting an award. Could you just hold up the award for them to see?
Certainly.
Just for a second.
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
All right. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Okay. Let's move on.
Is that because you don't get to take it home? You can hang that at City Hall.
Oh, I hope I get to take it home. All right, so we got some calendar dates to note, and does council have any unfinished or new business to bring up?
I've got some new business, and it's something obviously we could discuss a little here and then, you know, maybe table for another meeting. But I feel like with the upcoming new council that's coming up and a lot of new people, and the fact that we've been virtual for what feels like forever now, I'd like to talk to council about possibly coming back for live meetings at City Hall. I think that would be advantageous for everybody involved. So it looks like I got at least one positive response from that. So if we want to talk more, yeah, a couple. So I don't know if we want to talk more about it now or we want to talk more about it, you know, come January, but I wanted to bring it up. So.
How do you want to approach that, Mr. Jones?
I think my suggestion would be that we council take up Mr. Davidson's suggestion at the first meeting in January, since you'll have two new people sitting there that the meeting or the decision will obviously dramatically affect. You probably should include them. So I think, yeah, I actually, if I got to vote, I would vote in favor. But I think January would be a good time to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Okay. So before we adjourn, we are going to recess into executive session to discuss sale of real property, and then we will come back and take action on that item, and then we will adjourn after that. So everyone else can leave the meeting, and the rest of council and staff involved will stay.
And Madam Mayor, I would say 15 minutes, it would be my estimation. And then we do expect action, as you said, afterwards. And it is for matters affecting price on a real estate transaction.
All right.
Are we going to get breakouts from Sam?
Yes, I'll be doing that right now. I just had to type a couple things in and I'll be doing this.
And I will be right there.
All right.
for those of you still here, we are extending it another 10 minutes.
Such a smooth system for going back and forth to our meetings. Love this new system.
Madam Mayor, when you're ready, if I could just give this a brief introduction and see if council wants to take action.
Sure. Okay, Mr. Jones, why don't you give a brief introduction as to the action that we're going to take on this item.
So the city is in a has had a purchase and sale agreement with Phosphorus Properties for the sale of 665 Peace Portal Drive. The agreed upon price is $300,000, and they've had a feasibility period, which City Council has granted one extension to. The terms of the agreement are that would expire on November 30th. Not obviously that date has passed. This is our first meeting after that date. The provision of that agreement includes sort of a notification of from the city of the end of the agreement. And before I took that step, I wanted to see where council stood on this agreement. Were we trying to salvage it? Were we looking to take the property off the market, perhaps remarket it, or some other action? And I prepared a request for council action with some alternatives for you. And I think that perhaps the best thing is for someone to make a motion in one direction or another.
Who wants to make a motion?
I could try. I move the council direct the city manager to urgently negotiate as soon as possible with the potential buyer to determine terms immediately. Does the motion need to have anything else in there?
With a date certain.
With a date certain.
Mm-hmm. For response.
Yes. With a response required within 48 hours of successful communication by the city manager to the potential buyer.
All right.
Second by Mr. Baldwin. All right. All in favor of the motion, signify aye.
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 Are there any opposed? All right. Motion carries 7-0. Okay. Thank you, everybody. The meeting is ready to be adjourned. And hopefully I'll see at least most of you at the meeting on the 27th. Okay?
Night.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for the first meeting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mike.
You bet.
See you next time.
All right. See you tomorrow.